Good morning, everyone. Great to be with you as always, and looking forward to spending some time in God's Word. And if for those who were here last week, no, we were looking at Mark chapter 5, and we spent a bit of time looking at a few things which we'll quickly review as we're going to dive in and see what the Lord has for us this morning together. I'm going to read God's Word and remind us of what we read, and perhaps read a little further this morning in the passage of Mark chapter 5. We're going to read through verses 1 through 20, and then I'm going to pause for a word of prayer, and we're going to dive right in. Let's read as we read God's Word. Mark chapter 5, verse 1, and again, I always and often read from the New American Standard. Might be a little different from yours, but hopefully close enough that it makes sense if those of you who are reading along. It says this, Mark 5, verse 1. They came to the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gerasenes. When he got out of the boat, immediately a man from the tombs with an unclean spirit met him, and he had his dwelling among the tombs. No one was able to bind him anymore, even with a chain, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been torn apart by him, the shackles broken in pieces. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Constantly, night and day, he was screaming among the tombs and in the mountains and gashing himself with stones. Seeing Jesus from a distance, he ran up, bowed down before him. Shouting with a loud voice, he said, "What business do we have with each other, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God, do not torment me." For he had been saying to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And he was asking him, "What is your name?" And he said to him, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he began to implore him earnestly not to send them out of the country. Now there was a large herd of swine feeding nearby on the mountain. The demons implored him, saying, "Send us into the swine so that we may enter them." Jesus gave them permission. Coming out, the unclean spirits entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the sea, about 2,000 of them, and they were drowned in the sea. Their herdsmen ran away and reported it in the city and in the country, and the people came to see what it was that had happened. They came to Jesus and observed the man who had been demon-possessed, sitting down, clothed, and in his right mind, and the very man who had the legion, and they became frightened. Those who had seen it described to them how it had happened to the demon-possessed man and all about the swine, and they began to implore him to leave their region. As he was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed was imploring him that he might accompany him. And he did not let him, but he said to him, "Go home to your people and report to them what great things the Lord has done for you, and how he had mercy on you." And he went away and began to proclaim in Decapolis what great things Jesus had done for him, and everyone was amazed. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that again we can open your word and know that we serve a living God, a God of truth, a God of righteousness. Again, a God who desires to be known, to be seen, to be heard. And I pray once more that as we open your word today, that we would allow your spirit and your spirit alone to speak to our hearts, that we would seek nothing more, nothing less than what you have for us today, that we might not only know about you, know your name, sing about you, sing your praises, but that we might live your life, that we might know what it means to walk in your ways today. Thank you that today you have offered life, life abundant, far more than we can ask or imagine. And again, I pray that we would settle for nothing less than what you have offered and what you desire to do within us. And I pray this morning again that by your word we'd be both encouraged and challenged, and that we'd allow you to touch us and remind us of those areas that we need to bow our knee before you. Thank you for this, Lord, and we trust in you and trust that today you are speaking. And so for that we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, as we spend time in Mark here in chapter 5, obviously we've read about this demon-possessed man and this legion that was within him. And as we begin this morning, we're going to be spending a bit of time looking at a couple of things that can often make us stop before we start. And I hope by the end that will become clear. Last week, we saw that which cannot be bound, humanly speaking. And we read how so many tried to bind the demon-possessed man, and yet nothing could bind him. Anything that could not be bound, humanly speaking, can be bound by Christ. Only Jesus never stops with binding. Binding may seem as though it were stopping. His desire is to free us entirely. Christ, his desire is not just to bind, but to cast out that which is concerning us. Those things that are taking over us. Paul writes it this way in his letter to the Romans, in Romans 8 and verse 37. He says this, "But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Nothing can separate us. Nothing can stop that which the Lord has, that which the Lord does. And as we spoke last week, we looked at that fact that often we try and fail in our own strength. And the reality is we were never intended to bind or to cast in our own strength, but in the strength of Christ. And often we are trying to bind what only he can. We are trying to cast what only Christ is able. And today we are to turn to him. And we looked at that point that today we are never alone. And as Chris was mentioning, people like George and Elaine coming, that's a prayerful decision. People who have a ministry and are gifted in the area of prayer and ministering to the congregation in that way. And that longing that today, no matter what encompasses us, entangles us, is hurting us, we're not alone. Christ is enough. And often we have to come to the end of ourselves, our attempts to bind, our attempts to contain, our attempts to retain all that is entangling us, in order to see in the midst of our failure that where we can't, Christ can. Christ can. And did. Now this morning, we're going to take a step further, and we're going to be looking at the fact that as they saw what God did, there was a response to it. But as they looked on at Jesus, there was another thing we spoke about, and that was this, that after God condemned and cast out those demons, remember this, we can long for, even pray for God's work in other people's lives. Meanwhile, if you remember last week, we can have a large herd of swine roaming around in our own life, right? And here's the reality. God was not just interested in casting out one man's demon. He was interested in cleansing the whole community. And he was going to use this moment, this opportunity, not just to take care of one issue, but use the one issue to take care of the many. And now it's in the response to that. And John writes this in 1 John 1. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and righteous to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is what Jesus was looking for. Not to deal with one nuisance, one man, but to cleanse a whole community. And now the question before us this morning is, as a community, are we ready for it? Do we want it? Will we allow it? Because notice, these people saw, they were struck, they were amazed at what Jesus did. And yet when they told the people, they went and they said all that they had done. The man who was demon-possessed, he responded in this way, gratitude, thankful, and longing that he might follow Jesus wherever he went. That is in great contrast to those who saw what Jesus did. There's the man who experienced Jesus' healing, and now there's those who saw the healing of Jesus. And in contrast, they went, they told others. And it says this, they asked Jesus to leave because they were what? afraid. One had a response of gratitude, the other a response of fear. And this morning, we're going to look at two things in this story that God's preserved for us that really show a moment in time where you can stop before you even start, and one of those has to do with fear. I mean, these people saw what Jesus did to the man. Here's a man tormented, out of his mind, gashing himself with stones, now sitting, testimony, in his right mind, clothed. They saw what God could do and yet were afraid. What were they afraid of? Well, you could look at the herdsmen who saw their livelihood run off a cliff. Right? And last week we looked at how upright being a herdsman of that herd may well have been in that time. And they look and they see what Jesus did. They see what he began to do. And their response, listen, if he can do that to him, if he could do that to them, what's he going to do to me? And that can be both exciting and absolutely terrifying in the same word, can't it? Absolutely terrifying. Because if you're going to allow God in, not just to deal with the demon, but to cleanse the community, there's going to be a cost. And that cost, as we see in Scripture, as people are told, pick up your cross, is one to be counted. They were going to be at a crossroads. And their fear, and we've talked about fear before, remember this, proper fear, as we read in Scriptures, the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Fear is not terror. Terror is to be afraid of something and giving control in a wrong way. The fear God speaks of is not a terror, but a reverence. When we put God in that holy place, in the place of control. As we go back in Scripture, we can see places where people feared. And I'm going to pick on one this morning. Again, we won't read all the verses, but remind you perhaps of a story you may know well in the book of Judges in chapter 6. And it's the story of a man named Gideon. Judges 6 verse 11. I want you to listen to this. The angel of the Lord, Judges 6 verse 11. The angel of the Lord came and sat under the oak that was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash, the Abizrite, as his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress in order to save it from the Midianites. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, O valiant warrior." Gideon said to him, "O my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles, which our fathers told us about? Saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of the Midian." Do you see Gideon's perspective? Here he is beating out wheat, trying to save what he has from the oncoming Midianites, hoping that he might save what he has in his father's household. And yet the Lord comes, and his first question to the Lord is, "Where are you? And why have you failed?" Now I want this morning to listen to what the Lord says to Gideon. And more importantly this morning, if there were anything more important than the Lord's word, there isn't. But I want to highlight this morning Gideon's response to that word. It says this in verse 14. The Lord looked at him and said, "Go in this your strength and deliver Israel from the hand of Midian. Have I not sent you?" He said to him, "O Lord, how shall I deliver Israel? Behold, my family is the least in Manasseh, and I am the youngest in my father's house." But the Lord said to him, "Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat Midian as one man." So Gideon said to him, "If now I found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that it is you who speak with me." He goes on and he says, "Listen, Lord, if it is you, please don't depart from me and be here when I come back to make a sacrifice." So he goes, gets what he needs for the sacrifice. He comes back the next day, and when he sees it, he makes the sacrifice. And it says this in Judges 6, verse 21, "The angel of the Lord put out the end of the staff that was at his hand, touched the meat and the unleavened bread, and fire sprang up from the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened bread. And the angel of the Lord vanished from his sight. And Gideon saw that he was the angel of the Lord. And he said, 'Alas, Lord God, now I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face.' The Lord said to him, 'Peace to you, do not fear, you shall not die.' Gideon built an altar to the Lord and named it, 'The Lord is Peace.'" Isn't that a great moment? Gideon says, "Lord, how do I know who you are?" And the Lord blesses him. He honors him. And he says face to face, "Gideon, do not fear. I'm with you. Do not fear." Now this morning, as we look at the book of Judges, and you may well know Gideon's next response. His next response, after seeing God face to face, seeing what God can do, and hearing what God wants to do, his next response is to say this. Gideon said to God, "If you will deliver Israel through me, as you have spoken, behold, I will put a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If there is dew on the fleece only, and it is dry on the ground, then I'll know that you will deliver me." What was his response? God said, "Don't fear, I'm with you, I've got you, go." Gideon says, "I've heard it, I've seen it, I know what you can do, you've told me what you want to do, but would you give me one more sign, please?" Just one more. And isn't God gracious? Because here, he does what Gideon says. He puts dew on the fleece and not on the other side, and he does everything Gideon asks. And yet, read a few more verses. Anyone know how Gideon responds next? You know it's good when it starts with this. Gideon said to God, "Do not let your anger burn against me." Isn't that the best? You know it's good when you start apologizing in advance. Lord, hey, listen, please be patient here, but listen, let me speak once more, and let me make a test once more with the fleece. Let it now be dry on the fleece, and let there be dew on the ground. And God did so that night, for it was dry only on the fleece, and dew was on all the ground. I want you to notice this morning that as God spoke to Gideon, his instructions were, "I am with you, I have got you, do not what? Fear." What was at the root of Gideon's hesitation? Fear. And as long as he feared for his own livelihood, his own household, his own assets, his own feelings, his own self, he'd never get to see the glory that God was ready to do. It wasn't until he believed and his belief turned into obedience, he would actually do what God said, that then and there would he see the reality of God's salvation. He had to actually obey. But today, I wonder how often I'm held back. I know what God wants to do. I know where God wants to go. Here's what God said: "I'm with you. I can bind what cannot be bound. I can cast out what seems to cling beyond your ability." and yet I hesitate from going. Why? Fear. Because I'm not quite sure what I'm going to meet when I go there. Do I really want to go? You could say, easy if you're a demoniac. There's nowhere but up from having demons gone. Not so when your livelihood may have been the herd of swine and God starts his cleansing there. When God starts cleansing the community and says, you know what? Enough's enough. You know me and I'm a God of righteousness. I bought you with a price, therefore you are no longer your own. I've called you to righteousness, and now I'm going to start making you righteous. And we're going to start right over here. And there's times in which I say, God, I want you, but I don't want it. What's it? The cleansing. I'm scared that if I follow the calling and the call, that on the other side, I'll not only see the things I want, God's glory, God's goodness, God's faithfulness, God's righteousness. I'll see the things I don't want. I fear hardship, loneliness, poverty, because we all know what God does to his people. Or does he? You see, I think often my thoughts and fears are found in a misappropriation of who I think God is. I often think, as I've told you before, that if God made a Y in the road and there was a choice, hey, you could do a surfing ministry in Hawaii with youth over here, or you could go and suck septic over here on this side in your local community, I'd always assume it's sucking septic. Guaranteed, that's God's will. Because why would God ever take me over there? It's too good. Too good to be true. Right? And yet I often fail to see that it may be that God's given me a desire for surfing. An inward longing for waves. Why? He's put that there because he's drawing me there. I often think, notice that as he's drawing his people, he was bringing them to a place, what? A land flowing with milk and honey. He longed to give them the good things. And yet God also knew when they got there, as he tells us in Deuteronomy, when you get there, beware that you say, my hand got me these things. I made this wealth. You know what God knows? He knows us. He knows me. And as we've looked at time and again through Scripture, we know a God that is not there to just strike and stricken his people, but as a loving father, he's willing to allow us, discipline us, and show us the better way that is his way. A God who's allowing us to suffer physical loss so that we might truly know spiritual gain. And sometimes I spend so much time clinging, fearing the loss of things that I think will be my end, that actually the loss of them may well only be the beginning. If I could only lose my self-security, my self-sufficiency, I might actually begin to see the reality that is his. But I fear it. I fear the unknown. I fear what might be. And often in my running from my fear of loneliness, I may actually be missing fellowship with a father that I'd never know otherwise. In my fear of running from poverty and scratching, begging, and borrowing to keep afloat, I may never know the riches that are his provision. And the more I keep running, the less I see, not the more I gain. Today, we can often stop before we've even started. We can see God's glory, we can see God's goodness, we can see everything that God has for us. And if we allow fear to dictate our next steps, we can miss so much more that God has. There's a group of people who saw what Jesus could do to a broken man and could have seen Jesus work in their own brokenness if they had allowed him. But instead, in fear, they said, please move on. Please go to the next. We don't want you here. God doesn't just long to cast out our demons. He wants to cleanse the community. And the question today is, have you stopped before you've even started because of the fear of what might be? Gideon never would know the victory that would be in God until he allowed his belief to affect his obedience and take that step. If you ask me, he had good reason to fear. It's Gideon who, when he went into battle, was the one who God said, hey, Gideon, remember that thing I said about you defeating the army? Yeah, your army's too big. Send anybody who's afraid home. Really, God? Yeah, go. Half the army leaves. Hey, Gideon, remember that thing I said about me defeating the enemy? Your army's still too big. Tell everybody to go down to the river and drink. And anybody who does a belly flop and sucks the water face first, send them home too. I only want you to watch the ones who lap up the water with their hand and keep their eyes on the horizons. They're the ones. How many was he left with? 300. And God says, now you're ready. I'd be saying, God, this is why I didn't want to go. This is why I was balking when you said, give her. Why? Because I knew you're nuts. But here's what I also know. You're faithful. You're faithful. Are you ready to embrace the adventure that is following him? He's going to lead you to strange and incredible places, uncomfortable places, not easy places. But I'll tell you what, places where you will see blessings that you never would if you didn't go. See a reality of knowing a God to a depth that you'd never see if you didn't take the dive. What fear is so great that is stopping you from seeking our Savior and Holy Father? They saw what he could do. Gideon saw him face to face. But he kept balking, holding back, making tests before he'd actually get in and go. What's stopping us today? God's promised so much more than we can ask or imagine. There are sins that so easily entangle. There are barriers that can be broken. There are walls that can be torn down. There are relationships that can be mended, lives that can be healed, friendships saved, blessings beyond blessings. But if we follow our fears, what will people think? What will they say? What will I do if? There's a lot of ifs, but there's one thing we do know. We have a faithful God who has promised us abundantly more if we allow our belief to conquer our fears and help us take that next step into obedience, that is to follow him, to allow him in, and to not just take on the demons we want, but to cleanse the whole community, that is ourselves. Perhaps today, if you're like me, God is putting his finger on areas where he's longing to cleanse the community, the life within. And yet there's something holding back. And today's that opportunity to say, Lord, I'm all yours. I don't just know your name. I don't just hear your voice. I know what you want. I'm ready to embrace all that you are. And as we take that step, there is no telling where God will take us next. But we'll never know if we ask him to move on to the next village. Stop at the next church. Keep doing a work in their life. I want you to heal them, but not me. I'm happy with where I'm at. I've allowed you to affect these areas of my life, but I've got these ones under control. Thank you very much. I'm doing fine over here. What are the things today, not what you see in anyone else, in your heart, where God is saying, it's time. Not for me to move on, but for me to move in your heart, in your life. We've heard great testimony in these last days of what God has been doing in our church. God speaking, God healing. And we can respond in fear of what we do not know, or we can respond in faith, in belief and trust in the God we do know, who is ever faithful. How do we respond today? Believe it or not, I had more to say, but we're running out of time, and I'm going to save it till our next time together. Because there's one more thing I see here that can often stop us before we've even started. And I'm going to save it till our next time together and look at that. Because I think there's another area in which we can see God, know his voice, know his name, know his ways, and yet stop. Stop him. Stop the move. Stop the way. Opt out. And I am one of those who every day as I see the Lord, my prayer is, Lord, enable me to opt in. So today, as the Lord is putting his hand on your heart, whether it's seeing Jesus heal the demoniac and you're tired of wrestling with those things that seem to be uncontainable, unchainable, if today is the day, come to the Lord and know that as you have seen him work, so he desires to work in your heart and life. And it's time to allow him to take, to cast out, and to care for those things that you can't. Where you are unable, he is able. And today, there's that invitation to the Lord to do those things. And for those who know the Lord, perhaps there's areas in which you see he's been faithful to cast out, to care for those things. And yet you see the herd of swine around you, and some fear, some form of something is holding you back from saying, Lord, I'm all in. Perhaps today is the day to say, Lord, I want you to affect not just this area, but all areas. Lord, today I'm going to choose you over choosing fear, over what people think, over my fear of fill in the blank, loneliness, poverty, what other people think, what others will say. Today I choose you, and I'm inviting you in to continue that cleansing, and that is personally, that is communally, as we allow the Lord to live and have his way. As always, there's that invitation that you're never alone, and there are always people to pray. Today, tomorrow, next week, George and Elaine coming, great opportunities, not only to hear from the Word, but to take time after the hearing of the Word to seek the Lord together in some of these things. And sometimes it starts with humility in knowing we have a need. And I know that, and that can be hard. And yet, that's the invitation today, to humble ourselves and know he is the Lord and come to him. What did we read together today? as John writes it, those who say they have no sin. God, we see the demoniac needs cleansing. We're okay. If we don't know we have a need, we'll never know what he can do and wants to do. What's God saying today? Let's pray. Lord, thank you that we can open your word again and be reminded of these things. That today so often we can see your hand at work. We can see the power with which you work. We can hear of what you've worked in others' lives with healings and words and encouragements. And yet still we can say, move on. I pray today that you would give us a heart that is soft, that you would remind us of those areas where we can allow you, as we let go where we can't and cling to the God who can. I pray that today, as you reveal each and every one of these things in each of our hearts, that we would have the courage to come forward before a holy God and allow you, a loving God, not out to hurt us or to get us, but to refine us and to make us into something so much more, a child of God, in the image of God. Thank you that heaven is not a destination one day, but a way of life here today. And I pray that you would have your way within each and every one of our hearts, that we might experience the joy of that life as we allow you to strip away the old. Thank you for each member of this congregation and what you're doing in each of us personally, collectively, and just pray that you'll continue that work as we continue to invite you in and to be about your business. Thank you for all of this. In Jesus' name, amen.